I want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. The Green Side is a collaboration between thehackersparadise.com and putterzone.com and is your radio source for everything involving the short game. Heavy emphasis on putters, but we really do cover everything inside of 100 yards. I want to welcome my co-host that's with me this week and every week, and that is Sean from Putterzone. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great, Josh. You know, I'm a little disoriented coming out of the buzzsaw of the holidays, but happily, I've been greeted here in the new year with some exciting new putters, and I know you have too. And I think the winter and spring season is going to bring a lot on the flat stick front this year.
I tend to agree with you, and we have a couple we're going to discuss coming up here. But while we talk about how the show is everything inside of 100 yards, we are a heavy emphasis on putters, but we're going to switch gears this month and start the show off with scoring wedges and a company called Score. And it's a company that a lot of our readers are familiar with, especially our forum members, because we did a forum testing, and the members got a chance to try them out and write their own reviews, and they were really, really good. You've been experiencing Score. Before we get into how they're working for you, can you kind of describe for the readers what Score wedges are all about?
Yeah, they're basically designed to elevate what they call, and I think it's a cool term, your short game intelligence. And I've always been one to, this whole macho thing of how far can I drive it just never appealed to me.
This 400... is the internet, so everybody drives at 400 yards.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not the $400 driver guy. You know, I'm the putter guy. So I relate to wedges much more than I do longer clubs. And so I love this whole concept of it's basically like the wedges now, you know, from Score, sort of an extension of the putting green, and that they're so focused on turning you into a sniper, so that you can get closer to the hole and have more one and two putts. And so it's a whole concept of really treating that 150 yards, 100 yards in, much more differently and much more strategically than you might be used to with the typical wedges that come with your set or even that you grab afterward.
You know, that's a good way of putting it. And their little logo actually makes me think of a sniper. I'm a big fan of fitting and gap fitting, maybe more so than anything. And I think Score does that, if not as good, or if not better, as good as anybody out on the market. And their products shine. The people behind the brand are quality people that truly, this is a labor of love for them. You look at what they're trying to do, and from every aspect, Eidolon wedges, which is the precursor, some would say, really focused on the dual type of sole, the V-sole technology that they use, and I believe it worked. We hear a lot about bounce and things like that, and for the amateur golfer that is playing so many different course conditions normally, bounce can be, I don't think it's as much a hindrance as, let's say, our readers believe it might be. Find something you're comfortable with that'll work in many conditions, and I think you're pretty much set. And what Score has done with the V-sole technology is kind of taken that to another level, which is you can play these clubs in a variety of different ways and do so better than you can with other wedges, according to them. And in our testing, it holds up just how good they are. And they're bringing it all the way down even further in lofts past the wedge. Now, you've spent some time with them recently, and rather than talk about, the scoring zone and getting it close and playing these type of wedges, why don't you talk about the aspects of right around the green and what you're seeing with them?
Well, for me, going to the V-sole, what these wedges have given me is psychological freedom from this whole notion of bounce. I've never pretended to be a great golfer. I don't get out nearly as frequently as I would like. And so, I'm out there hacking around. You talk about course conditions. I'm out in the weeds or in the tight lies. It depends, from shot to shot, hole to hole. And so, with my earlier wedges, I'd have a high bounce for the sand, but that, that's locked into that loft at 56 degrees. And, if I need that loft in a situation that's a little tighter, I'm thinking about it. And I think that gets into the golfer's head sometimes. And you start thinking, I can't hit this shot, even though I need this loft, because of the bounce isn't fitting for the particular lie I'm in. And I found with these wedges, I've just taken all of that mental clutter away, and I stand over the shot and I just hit it. I'm not worried about the bounce now. I'm confident that this club is going to, whether it's tight or fluffy, it's gonna take care of the job. And for me, it's proven to do that.
You know, that's a really interesting way of putting it. And a couple of our forum testers discussed that a little bit, not in quite that detail and so eloquently, as my partner puts it here. But you know, that I always preach about how choices are good. More brands are better. Giving consumers choices are good. However, once they're in your golf bag, choices are bad, in my opinion. If you have to make three decisions before you have to hit your shot that's the one that's going to bring you into the scoring zone, quote-unquote, that's bad because you're going to be thinking the whole time, am I making the right decision? And you're right. The VSOL has eliminated a lot of that. It's eliminated the buying choices of trying to figure out which bounce do I buy, which grind do I look for. And they've really done a good job with that. And they build your set for you, which I appreciate. You're getting a custom set built that's going to match and fit your gaps. It would all be for naught if the product was not well made. And that's the biggest thing that I've found, is that the product is extremely well made. It feels good. It works well. It spins well. It really has everything covered across the board.
It's like a mini, it's like a set within a set. And, you know, you don't get the choice of bounce, which for me is a favorable limitation. And yet you get all of these choices with regard to lie angle and loft to the degree between 41 and 61 degrees. You can literally build a custom set within a set of wedges. I had a lot of really cool wedges in my bag and some that didn't make it in the bag or got pitched by the next one. All very good clubs, but they're all out of the bag now. And I've just got this sort of like trio of score wedges. I just feel like I can lock in and rely on and get familiar and comfortable with and develop a relationship with this trio of clubs. And I think it's just streamlined my approach and you know, opened me up psychologically to just hitting the shot.
Well, that's
been a really nice development for me. And this sounds like one of those, hey, you know, I put the club in my bag and it transformed my game. But it kind of did the first time I took these out. I was hitting better. I was getting closer, and I certainly had been playing more. So I can only attribute it to the effect these clubs had on me, be it the club itself or just my mental approach to the shot.
Well, you know, and again, this is the internet, so I don't play out of the fluffy stuff. That's ridiculous. I've never missed a fairway. I never miss a green, and I never miss a putt. I shot 18 under the last round, and I was upset, but. All seriousness, all kidding aside, and back to the serious nature of it, we all miss. And if you have a club that gives you more confidence, that will help you. Now, more confidence in a club that doesn't match or fit you, that's not necessarily going to help you. But being that they do match these up, they do fit, and you know, they believe in fitting quite a bit, I think it leads to excellent, excellent scoring opportunities for more golfers. Now, speaking of scoring opportunities, we're going to switch gears a little bit and head to the putter side of things. And there's a new putter that talks about scoring just in their name, and that's Sub 30 from Never Compromise. Now, we've covered Never Compromise the last year, three different shows when they've released the Gambler, the Dinero, and the Connoisseur. And this is, in 2012, kind of a different model from them. Can you describe for the listeners what you're seeing in Sub 30? What's different?
Yeah, well, what's different is, in a way, what's similar to the Gambler and Dinero and Connoisseur putters is this Sub 30 putter is sort of like the more affordable extension of those all mill putters. You still have the playful design motif, the new logo. Everything feels consistent now. You know, Never Compromise. It kind of went quiet there after it. Remember the gray on black?
Mm-hmm.
A look of Never Compromise for so many years, and then they kind of went quiet, and then they came out with the X-Ray, which seemed to come out of nowhere. And I think in 2011, they really found their groove with those high-end milled putters. And now what the Sub 30 is to me, it's a natural extension going into a more affordable price point.
You know, we've spoken off-air about Never Compromise and how we were fans of the 2011 line, Gambler, Dinero, and Connoisseur, and what was coming next. What could they have possibly done to change that? And this is a natural extension. It gives people an opportunity to test these out. And one of the things that's incredibly intriguing to me is the insert in this. Now, you've spent some time with them recently, I believe. Can you discuss that insert?
Yeah, I've had it out once and really like the feel off the face. It's a dual material insert, and there's a nice crispness to it. So a lot of people think insert, they think squishy, they think lack of feedback, and that's certainly not the case with this insert.
Now, it's got a lot of cool features, copper infused in the insert. Does that change the audible tone you're hearing at impact?
Not a lot to me, no. I didn't notice anything particularly distinctive or different in the audio. But again, I need to spend a little more time with it.
It's fairly new to the stable here. I look at this putter, and I told my wife, I said, it's a gateway drug. And she goes, what do you mean? And she says, it looks really nice. And I said, because people are going to try this putter, and it's their gateway. And 2 days later, they're going to be on mycustomputter.com customizing a Dinero or a Connoisseur that's the same shape. I can see it already because it really is well made. And the never compromise feel that I felt in 2011 and the sound and how it relates to the ball coming off the face is as good as anything I've tried.
Yeah. And it looks clean at address. And again, there's that, I don't know, it's really standing out aesthetically to me, particularly in this price point. You're looking, in the 100 and, let me see here. You're looking at about 140 for the blades and 175 for the mallets, and they're different. They found their voice.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it. Now, one putter company that we have discussed a lot over the last year on the green side is Bettinardi, and THP readers have been receiving some Bettinardi putters, the ones that are in the Morgan Cup, because Bettinardi and Bridgestone teamed up to have Bettinardi be the putter supplier for the Bridgestone staffers. And one putter that is incredibly unique for 2012 is something called the Queen Bee. And the Queen Bee is – I'll let you describe. What is the Queen Bee?
The Queen Bee, it's a real beauty. And I interviewed Robert Bettinardi recently on putterzone.com. And he said that this putter was actually inspired by his wife. And she had kind of been telling him, there needs to be a true ladies' putter. And it was funny. He said, no pink grip added to a man's putter, no chartreuse lettering. I think the message from his wife was, let's do something for the ladies that is cool and not condescending.
Well,
and that's what he ended up with. But interestingly, and happily, because I've got it in my bag right now, he says that 50% of them are sold to men.
And that's what I was going to get on. We received one at THP, and Golfer Gal immediately picked it up, and she's like, man, that's really nice looking. And but I picked it up. I said, I would put that in my bag in 2 seconds. It's gorgeous. So I really do kind of consider it a unisex putter, unisex putter, not you and I. And the men in the Morgan Cup are quite fond of it. A couple of them have ordered it, and I can see why. I don't necessarily. I understand it's not a men's putter. Slap some pink on it and call it a ladies' putter. But it's also not a ladies' putter in the aspect that it can't be used by a man and find some success. I think it's an absolute winner across the board for both men and women.
Yeah, I think if you don't think of the name Queen Bee, then there's absolutely nothing getting in the way of the average guy playing with this. I think some, are going to think, are going to hear that it was originally, conceived as a ladies putter and it has the name, Queen Bee. And so they're going to feel like, that's not necessarily their territory, but it's a fantastic putter and it looks great, and I think it's a putter for everyone.
How would you describe the finish on it?
Well, it's it looks more coppery in the photos.
Is that a word?
Coppery?
Yeah.
I just coined it.
Okay. Just making sure.
It's not buttery.
No. Don't even get me started on buttery coppery. This week.
And, but it's more of kind of like a, it's got more of like a champagne quality to it.
You know, I actually called copper. It champagne copper when we received it.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. Well, there, that's it. That's exactly how I would describe it.
A couple of years ago at a THP golf outing, Bettinardi was nice enough to supply us with a unique custom-made putter, and it had a fantastic finish, which now we see that finish in the studio stock line. I very much want to see this finish in a regular line with multiple putter choices in the coming years, because this finish is as good as anything I've come across. It's that good. It looks so good at a dress.
Yeah, I'm it's sort of in awe, really, of how good this putter looks.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I see it. It's just so good. Now
it's different too. It's I think part of it is that I haven't seen this hue, this shade, this finish.
The word is coppery.
Yeah, coppery. I've seen darker ones, but this is definitely unique. And like I said, it's what I'm playing with right now. It's a little heavier. I typically trend to go a little lighter, but for some reason I'm really responding to this putter.
Now, normally when we storyboard shows, we decide, on the things we're going to discuss, and now we have some time left over, so I wanted to discuss a couple of things with you. And this, for those listening along, Sean has no idea what I'm going to ask him. He has no idea about anything. But one of the things that I wanted to discuss with you is the feel of a putter and how it relates to the putter's makeup. And what I mean by that is grip, shaft, ball, head. What do you think is the most important factor in the sensation people get in their hands?
I think that's a trick question.
It's really not. I have no ulterior motives behind this, I swear to you. But for the listeners at home, Sean pretty much thought the show was wrapping up, and I'm very curious about this. And I'll lead to why, but there's no bad answer. Let's put it that way.
Well, if it – you may not view it as a trick question, but I think it is actually a trick question. And the reason I say that is because having spent so much time with so many different putters, it really depends, I think, on the design and the material, how much these other factors affect the feel. I've had putters that – in the same line, have vastly different feel and acoustics just based on the shape of the head, all the material, the insert, everything else might be the same, but you have immense difference in the feel, in the audio feedback, just simply due to the shape of the head. But then when you start looking and adding and factoring in the ball, a heavier, oversized grip, things like that, that can have a vast influence as well. And so what you end up with is it's this nexus of variables, and it's really hard to separate one from the other. But I think it's important that people understand that these variables do have that impact. I think that's the most important part of this discussion, is that if you're going to put a vastly different grip or change from one ball to the next, you need to be really aware that can have a deep influence on the feel of the putter.
Well, that's actually a really good answer, and let me get to the reason I was asking that is your favorite topic, the belly putter. Now, maybe I'm mistaken, and I could be because I'm not a physicist by any means, but by having a club that is anchored to you and a longer club in general, wouldn't it drastically change the feel of the putter, at least from how far it has to go to reach your hands and at impact, and the fact that it's also attached to another part of your body?
I think it absolutely does.
So in terms of that, wouldn't it say that maybe the grip plays just as much a role on the feel of the putter as anything else. I guess I was making this list before our show, and I was going through on different things that impact feel, and with grip being something that's anchored twice on a belly putter, meaning hands and stomach, I would think that that would play as big, if not bigger, a bigger role than anything else.
Well, if you're looking at it from the vantage of traditional putter to belly putter and traditional grip to belly putter grip, I think you may absolutely be right. If you're looking at traditional putter to traditional putter and just changing the grip, maybe going from a regular to a midsize or something like that, I don't think you're going to have this quantum difference in feel. But if you take that same putter, extend the shaft, and put one of these long, heavy grips on it, anchor it to your gut, yeah, it's going to change the feel immensely.
That's what I needed. And see, I go to you for my questions, and they just got.
I'm not responding well personally to the whole belly putter thing. I've got some now. I'm trying them. I can't seem to get a handle on it.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
For lack of a better word.
You don't really want to get a handle on it.
Yeah, but even if I did, I'm trying to embrace it just from the standpoint of writing intelligent reviews about them, and I'm not feeling it.
Yeah,
to be punny.
I've struggled with them in the past myself. In fact, the one that I like the most so far is actually one called an almost belly. I think we've talked about it here because I can use it on long putts as a regular putter.
Yeah, I like the almost belly. The Seymour,
which we're going to talk about in an upcoming show.
Yeah, it's a beautiful belly putter. If I had to use one, that might be it. But I almost feel like I'm just doing something wrong, and I need a lesson because it's not working out for me.
Well, we'll have to address that. And to be perfectly honest, this is now four shows in a row we've talked about the belly putter, and I want to keep that trend going.
I'm going to throw something that we didn't talk about either.
What's that?
The hot list.
That's true. We did not talk about the hot list, and we will have to at an upcoming show because we are out of time this week. But I have all kinds of thoughts on the hot list, like you might expect.
My my parting shot is, and maybe I shouldn't even bring this up, but like I was looking at it, and I just thought, what? Where's everything?
I think that we should make a promise to our listeners that our next show, which is post-PGA show, we will have half of the entire show on Sean's rants on the hot list. No, but we will discuss the hot list in total from the putter standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's much to discuss, but...
Oh, there's plenty to discuss when you hear me start ranting on it.
Well, that's good to know, because I look forward to it in my own way, and I was just kind of like, huh, I wonder what Josh thinks, because there seems to be a lot missing here.
Yeah, well, we will definitely address that for the next show, and that'll give our listeners something to look forward to. So that wraps up another Greenside episode. For myself and Sean, don't fear the green, conquer it. Goodbye, everybody.